So if there's a set sum of money that, again, you're planning for, whether it be charity or kids, I'm a huge proponent in not waiting until it's not a gift. You cannot give anything away when you're dead. In order for you to give something away, you have to say, I don't need this anymore. I'm giving it to somebody else, right?
That was Ben Tages talking about the difference between leaving money to heirs and charities when you die and giving it away while you are still alive. Hey everybody, Jared Sebesta here, co-host of Retire Repurposed. On behalf of Ben Tages and myself, thank you so much for joining us here today. Well, retirement is a big life change. We say it every single week. There are many facets of life to consider when making the jump into retirement and eliminating work from your life equation. Of course, there's the financial side, but there's also the relational side, the spiritual side, and the emotional side. Where are you going to find purpose? Where are you going to display and exhibit your passions? How are you going to continue to add value? And how about this? Where are you going to find your new identity? The truth is, your work likely answered many of these questions, but what happens when that all goes away? In our experience, many retirees start unknowingly shifting their identity onto their bank accounts. Wealth becomes a new place that they find value. Shifts in the market create greater mood swings, and newfound fear arises. Let me tell you something, money makes a very poor master. So in defense of many retirees, I can see where some of these fears and scarcity mindsets come into play. So what does this have to do with today's show on giving? Well, you see, there's two ways that you can give. One of which is you leave the leftovers to heirs and charities upon death. And the other occurs while you're still alive. But we believe dead people can't give away money. Likely you've heard that having a will in place before death is a good recommendation from financial planners. And we believe that. That is good advice. But we believe that there's a better way to give. However, to do this, you have to have firmly answered the question, how much is enough? And once you've achieved that goal, you can then begin the process of giving to, and more importantly, preparing the next steward for the gift. In this podcast, Ben will outline the difference between a will and a wealth transfer plan. And he will also share the reasons giving to heirs and charities now will actually have a bigger impact and leave a bigger legacy than waiting until your death. Enjoy this episode. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the show. We're continuing this series on answering life's most difficult questions. And we're going to continue this conversation that we had last week on more of the financials of the retirement equation. So we're so glad that you're joining us here today. Just a quick reminder before we get started, we've got a Facebook group designed just for you. It is called Becoming Repurposed in Retirement. Join a growing community of people that refuse to accept the typical American dream retirement. Check out all of the latest and greatest stuff, all the links. If we mention something here on the show, if we mention a podcast, we mention a new piece of content, it's all focused there. And this group continues to grow week by week. So again, if you're of retirement, approaching retirement, want to get the latest and greatest stuff, go to facebook.com and search Becoming Repurposed in Retirement to join this growing community of people that refuse to accept the typical American dream retirement. Ben Tages joins me on the show today, and you know, we're going to continue our conversation from last week, and it did take a little bit more of a financial spin. We pride ourselves that this isn't necessarily a show based on the financial side of retirement, but you know, it's hard not to go there in some respects because you have to address kind of the whole person and this whole equation dedicated to retirement.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily think we got to steer away from that part of the conversation, Jared. I think it's very important. What we know is that most people don't talk about the other stuff, right? So most people in you know, certainly the retirement planning space today are focused so much on that side, and many times the wrong part of that side. And I think that's key. I mean, when we're talking on this show, I want to make sure people understand that when you're having financial discussions about retirement, this is the stuff you should be talking about. Yeah, there's a place for a sound financial plan, and those are very, very important, and making sure that you know you dot every I and cross every T in your plan and go through those you know, the financial projections. But you have to be discussing what money really means. You have to be discussing really how somebody feels about wealth, how somebody feels about income. The important piece of that is the stuff we're talking about. And I think, you know, we left last week's show kind of, you know, as I kind of reflected on it this week, I was like, you know, we ended it talking about somebody not putting too much hope in their wealth and, you know, focusing more on income. And I want to be very clear, you know, I don't want you to put your hope or, you know, that feeling of I'm a good enough person or I've got this wealth or income, mm-hmm. right? Anytime somebody puts their hope in, whether it be income or wealth, yeah. you're storing up your treasure in the wrong place. You know, we know that the only way to have hope in something that's lasting is to put it in, you know, our faith and put it into something that doesn't change. Mm-hmm. And that's our relationship with God. If we are going to feel content, if we're going to, you know, inside us, we're searching for something. Everybody is throughout history searching for something. God made us with that hole. Yep. The only way to fill that is not, it won't come through having more stuff, sure. more wealth or income. It's going to become with, you know, really full with that relationship with him.
Last week, the title of our show was Do I Have Enough? And we kicked off that show. That is basically the most quintessential common question that you get in the retirement space from people. They want to know, do they have enough to retire? We kicked off that show by kind of reworking that question. What was a better question to ask in that case?
Well, the better question is, how much is enough? And I think it comes down to stewardship, right? I think it when we look at that question, I'm always answering it with, be very careful that the goalpost doesn't move. You know, it seems that in life, success tends to, you know, create a desire for more and desire for more again. And pretty soon you're living the life that you wanted to live a year ago, and you're not grateful. You're living the life that you were dreaming of, and you're like, well, now I need a little more. I need a second home, a third home, a fourth home. And I'm not saying any of that stuff is wrong. I have two homes, and I don't. The reason I have them, Jared, though, is the key, right? It wasn't to keep up with the neighbor. It wasn't because I can't be fulfilled without it. It was because I want to make great memories with my kids. Mm-hmm. I think it's just super important, Jared, that when people are answering that question, do I have enough, they start with, how much really is enough? And at some point, you've got to draw a line in the sand and say, yes, this, I've accomplished what I needed to. Mm-hmm. Financially, we're okay. Our family's okay. And make sure that you're not, again, putting your hope and your trust in that wealth or income.
We mentioned on the show how that doesn't mean that you have to stop adding value. That doesn't even mean that you have to stop earning money. That's not what we're trying to say. It's really getting to that point where you are content with what you have and you can feel secure knowing that you have indeed what you have. I want to encourage people just to go back and listen to that show. That was such a key and crucial show to really understand kind of the depth of who we are and what we're all about. So go back and check out that show. Another thing we talked about was really trying to shift the mentality from saving now into spending. And that is a huge chasm that a lot of people struggle with.
Yeah, and I don't think we tried to cram a lot into that show, which is why, again, and by the way, it's one of our most downloaded shows we've had. So people like this concept of, you know, helping with the financial side of retirement as well. So I think when you think about that switch between saving and spending, it helps me when I explain this to people that we work with, is you've got to look at your financial picture and your retirement plan is almost like a shark fin. You've got to kind of go up the one side, and that's the years where you're saving, right? And again, you're accumulating wealth, you're trying to put money away. And then at some point, you transition that into spending those assets. Now, many people get this wrong and they think, well, I've got to save this money and now I just have to live on the income. That's okay mm-hmm. if you want to pass wealth on to the next generation, if you want, you know, this pot of money to still be there. But what many people say today is, my kids are in better shape than I was. Mm-hmm. My kids are doing great. So really, the money that I've saved, I need to spend. And if you're not careful, and if you don't get the mindset right, Jared, that shark fin, when it starts to go down and you're actually using your money for why you saved it, right. it will start to feel like this bottomless roller coaster rather than an expected change in financial trajectory, mm-hmm. right? And that's the key. So if you can kind of picture that and say, yep, I'm expecting, I want both my interest and my principal to be removing from this account because I saved it to spend it. Now, you don't want to run out, certainly, but that's part of your overall plan is make sure you don't run out. But if you're doing it right, and you don't want to pass all that wealth on to your kids when you die, mm-hmm. then absolutely you should be using it looking like a shark fin.
I can see why so many people would struggle with this, because not only are people now not working, but now they're trying to switch from being a saver into spending. And this is where the identity piece really comes into play, because now, whether they know it or not, they're searching for something to kind of put their heart into, and your bank account is a really bad place to put it.
Yeah, it is, Jared. It's not something that lasts, right? Anytime you have your hope or really your self-worth in something that's not lasting, that's a problem. So, I look at when people tend to put their self-worth in their net worth, it becomes very difficult when that net worth tends to dwindle,
yeah.
right? Whether or not it's intentional, because it's part of their plan that, hey, yeah, I've amassed this money, now I'm going to start spending it. Am I worth less than what I was before? Mm-hmm. Well, no, only if you're looking at yourself as, hey, this is a dollar that I'm worth, right? So I think it's very important that people, again, flip that mindset and they say, oh, okay, now that I'm not working, I'm not worth any less or any more than I was when I was working. Just because my account might be down. I mean, this is another thing when the financial markets are up and down.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully it doesn't dominate your daily schedule and what you think about.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's something that we see as well.
Yeah. And again, we call that the money disorder, where there's people that have enough, they have plenty, but are still wildly caught up in that. We've seen that so much and talked about that on the show. People's moods, swing when the financial markets go up or down. And that's a red flag that they've got their hope in the wrong spot.
Yeah. And again, that disorder tells me that, again, there's people that should be worried about running out of money.
Yeah.
Again, what I'm talking about is people that shouldn't. And there are people that are caught up in that, like, oh man, do I have enough? And they're worried about something they shouldn't be worried about. It's me as a professional looking at it from the outside in and saying, there's something wrong here. Like,
yeah.
you couldn't possibly spend through all of your wealth. And then we ask them questions like, what was money like for you as a kid?
Mm-hmm.
And we find out, oh man, you've always seen the scarcity.
Yeah.
Scarcity was up when you were a kid, and scarcity as you grew up, you were like, oh man, working around. I grew up on a farm and we didn't have anything.
Yeah.
I found that I didn't have a dime. My parents were poor. And again, we see that into how people are formed.
Absolutely.
And what they think about.
Yeah. I started reading a book not too long ago, and it's written by a guy by the name of Robin Sharma, and it's called The Everyday Hero Manifesto. It was recommended to me by a friend of mine. And basically, it's essentially 100 small chapters of Robin's just kind of thoughts and journal entries. And I ran across this last night, and I want to share it with everybody. This particular chapter, it's chapter 19. It's called You Are Absolutely Enough. And he goes on just to talk about this exact same thing, about how wealth is just a really bad place to put your identity. And he says this on page 81. He says, money is only one metric of success. It's only one form of wealth. There are many more ways, like being a good person and doing work that satisfies you, like having a fulfilling family life and being around friends who flood you with gratitude and hope. Many obsess over financial return or investments, yet tragically ignore the value of character ROI and happiness ROI and spiritual ROI, end quote. Again, to reiterate your point and Robin Sharma's point, having a sound financial plan is good, but when we put our hope in that, and worse, our identity in that, man, it's just a bad place.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-494-8310. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-494-8310. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-494-8310.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Yeah, you and I, we know where we should put our hope, we know our deeper identity. And if you're listening to this today and you're like, man, I'm caught up in that. Mm-hmm. There's a reason that the Bible talks about wealth, money 2000 times.
Yep.
Is because it's very, very easy to get caught in that trap of both wanting more, as we talked about earlier in the show, but also just, hey, I am, you know, I'm worth what my bank account's worth. Mm-hmm. And when I start to see it go down, I have worse days. I'm like concerned and I'm, you know, I get caught up in that. I think that is a huge issue. So I think, you know, Robin hits it right. It's like, no, wealth is a horrible place to store value. It's a horrible place for you to, you know, create and how you feel about yourself because it is so fleeting.
I want to get a little bit more tactical here. So we talked about the idea of identifying the correct question, which is how much is enough. Once you've identified that number, you have a sound financial plan, and you choose to want to give money to the next generation, whether it's heirs, family, charity, walk people through that process. Because I think what a lot of people worry about when it comes to this idea of, you know, watching their net worth go down or the nest egg go down is they don't want to spend the kids' money. Walk people through that process.
Well, you just said it right there, Jared. First of all, realize it's not your money. It's not the kids' money. It's God's money. So if you're looking as a proper steward and saying, okay, God, I've been entrusted with so much, and what should I do with it? Now, there's nothing wrong with, you know, passing wealth on to the next generation if it's done right. Okay. So, you know, we often ask clients many times, like, how much is too much for your kids? Here's a great question too. What's the worst possible outcome if your children get all of your wealth in the next year, mm-hmm. in the next 5 years, 10 years, whatever that is? And many times there are real red flags there. We'd be very careful about whether it be, you know, kids that get too much money soon because it changes who they are and they start to change their work ethic. There's many, many problems that can come from getting that passed on too soon without a plan. Mm-hmm. So what we prefer is a far better way to really plan for the next generation is to build a wealth transfer plan. So if there's a set sum of money that, again, you're planning for, whether it be charity or kids, I'm a huge proponent in not waiting until it's not a gift. Mm. And what I mean there, Jared, is you cannot give anything away when you're dead. In order for you to give something away, you have to say, I don't need this anymore. I'm giving it to somebody else, right? Well, of course you don't need money when you're gone. So mm-hmm. what decision are you really making there? Right. It's just by default, it's just going to somebody. It's going to a charity. It's going to your kids. So I'm a big proponent of building wealth transfer plans. If there's a lump sum of money, there's money that you're thinking your kids are going to get someday, if it's part of a good plan, mm-hmm. you should begin that while you're living, right? You should see what do they do with that money? How do they steward it? Help them kind of learn mm-hmm. what you've learned in amassing that wealth. So I think that's a key component, and your charities too.
They need it now.
They need it now. Yep. And a gift is so much more beneficial when you're actually making somewhat of a sacrifice to give it away. There's no sacrifice tied to passing wealth away at death because you can't use it anymore. I mean, the useful money, whether it be wealth or income, ends at death for you as an individual.
You covered a lot there, and I do want to kind of break some of this down. The main difference between a wealth transfer plan and what we would call a will, which a lot of people, you know, have wills.
Or death transfer plan, I guess.
Death transfer plan, which is probably a better word for it. And we certainly hope and wish that people have those documents in place and that plan in place. But what you're saying is, instead of saying, you know, I'm going to hold on to this, I'm going to make it useful to me just in case I need it. Then someday when I die, it might be in a year, it might be, who knows, 20 years down the road, whatever's left you can have. There's a very significant difference between, you know, having whatever's left over that I don't use and then drawing the line in the sand saying, hey, I have what I need. I have a sound financial plan that's going to take care of me for the rest of my life. And here's the line, and everything above and beyond that, I'm going to start ditching now and deaccumulating it and giving it away. And also too, something you haven't touched on yet, preparing the next steward to handle that money.
Yeah, I think that's a piece that that goes, you know, it's just too quick. We think, well, yeah, our kids are going to get this money someday, and people forget to put the time needed into having them use that wealth, mm-hmm. Steward that wealth. I think the best steward of something is somebody that's actually built it. Wealth generally doesn't last more than, you know, maybe two generations. Mm-hmm. Because again, if you didn't earn it and you didn't see the work tied to it, and it's just wealth sitting there that you got for free for nothing.
Yeah.
That people generally aren't very good stewards of things that they did not create, mm-hmm. That they did not have any skin in the game, if you will. That's why lottery winners are oftentimes a disaster when you look at it. It's very, very common. So I think make sure your kids don't end up looking like lottery winners. I think it's really, really important. Get them started now. Maybe there's a matching saving plan you can do with them. Maybe there's, in this wealth transfer plan, it's like, hey, here's this money. There's not strings attached. I mean, a gift's a gift, mm-hmm. but certainly you can watch what they do with it and say, here's how at your age, what I would have done with that money, mm-hmm. and then let them go.
Yep.
You know, they may not honor that and they may do it differently, but guess what? Next year, the gift might be different too.
Sure. There's a book I read last summer. We talked about it on the show. And it's just a really significant book. I do recommend people read it. It's not a Christian book, but it's called Die with Zero by a guy by the name of Bill Perkins. And he talks about this idea of deaccumulation. And judging by the title, you probably know where his mindset is. He talks about, you know, again, rapid deaccumulation to where, you end your life with zero. And, he talks about retirement, and I'm using air quotes here, retirement as really getting to the point where you know that number where it's not necessarily, it's exactly what we're talking about. It's not having, it's not how much do I have, it's having enough and only working to that point where you know you have the plan in place to then, you know, live off of and be prepared for the next phase of life. And he was very, very, he's got an entire chapter just dedicated to like, what about the kids? And he says this exact same thing, where he's like, you know, it's not spending your money. The most loving way to actually give money would be to do it while you're alive. And it's more fulfilling for it. And he also talks about the return on investment on the gifts. The sooner you give the gifts, albeit smaller, you have more time to watch the dividends of those gifts grow. And he's not talking financial. He's talking about the kingdom impact, the life impact. I think so many people say, well, you know, if I were to start giving some of my wealth away to my kids now, it's not going to be as big as it would be maybe in 10, 20, 30 years when I'm gone. But what you're not taking into account is that gift over time, and that's a huge piece of it.
Yeah, what they can do with it, right? I mean, how fun wouldn't it be for now you to watch your children, sure. if they do a good job with it, mm-hmm. to make a difference in charities that are important to them. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're like, you know what, this is important to me, Mom and Dad. I'm going to start owning this gift. I'm going to start being part of that. I think that's when you get the beauty of a wealth transfer plan, when that all comes together,
yeah.
and you can watch your kids, you can watch the charities really take those funds. And I'm not talking about putting your name on stuff early, getting credit for it. I think if you're doing it for that reason, again, wrong reason. But if you can see your charity like enjoy and use the gift that you've given them, it is so, so powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. And another piece of this thing is also too, when people are able to help prepare the next steward, there's a connection that is going to be created between the charity and the heir and kids and grandkids. You know, when they see grandma or grandpa, you know, helping them, you know, grow not only in wealth but in wisdom, they're growing. What's such a powerful gift? And it goes back to this whole idea of legacy.
Yeah, that's legacy, right? I mean, legacy is the lasting people impact that you had. So that could be on charity, that could be on your children. Inheritance, that's what people talk about all the time. Inheritance, that's really the money that your kids would spend when you're gone, right? I want to focus on legacy. And that can be my charities, that I support, that can be my children, but I get to see, yep. really that lasting impact on the kingdom of God in this life before I go on to the next. So I love that discussion around that. I think any time, Jared, that we're talking about the idea of running out of money and giving money away to kids or charities or dying with zero, as Bill Perkins' book talks about, I want to be clear that we're all going to die with zero, right? I mean, we're all going to get to that point where money doesn't do us any good. You know, a few weeks ago, I was visiting with one of my clients and was sharing with me about her husband's final days. And I think, like everyone, we all end up at a point where it doesn't matter what's in our bank account. And she made a comment to me that I think is pretty interesting. I think the individual's worth tens of millions of dollars. And at the end of the day, it really came down to, well, he had his favorite pair of slippers. He had comfortable clothes, but he was spending some time in a nursing home. And it didn't matter. Like, it didn't matter if they had 10 million, 100 million, nothing, none of that mattered, because at that point it was, am I in a place where am I around people that love me? I mean, am I in a place, am I comfortable? Do I have, he wanted that one pair of slippers, that comfortable pair of pants, a television that he wanted, but that was really about it. So you take somebody that's worth, again, many, many millions of dollars at the end of the day, whether or not you're that guy or somebody else who didn't have a lot, we're all going to end up in the same place. Our job from now until then is to really figure out that we are stewarding our time, talent, and our treasure. And that means our time, we're going to spend it, you know, every single day to the best of our abilities. Our talents, we're going to use the gifts God's given us. And our treasure, we're going to be preparing the next steward, and we're going to be setting them up to continue that legacy that we've already started.
Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you want more information or need help with this process, contact us by going to our website, retirerepurposed.com. Until next time, I'm Jared Sebesta. Remember, don't retire, become repurposed. We'll see you then.
Securities offered through Avantax Investment Services, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Avantax Advisory Services. Insurance services offered through an Avantax-affiliated insurance agency.
It's time to rethink, renew, and reimagine retirement. Hey, everybody. Jared Sebesta here, host of Retire Repurposed. Now, this podcast is about the non-financial parts of retirement, which many times can be even more challenging than the financial. We believe retirement is not the end, rather the beginning of what could be the most impactful, purposeful, and fulfilling season of a person's life. So don't retire. Become repurposed. To listen now, search Retire Repurposed on your favorite podcast platform, Senior Resource, or Life Audio.